Welcome back to the Recruit Grind. Today is a quick take episode on a hot topic in college football. There is a young athlete named Caden Proctor who is stirring up quite the commotion for a recent NIL transaction. But before we dive into all of that, let's take a moment to get to know this Mr. Proctor a little bit better. In order to do that, we're going to rewind it back to 2023. Where Caden Proctor emerged as a standout offensive tackle coming out of high school. And he hailed as Iowa's top recruit. And rightfully so, as Caden stands at a whopping 6'7", 360 pounds as a freshman. Now, despite being heavily recruited by his home team, Iowa, he ultimately chooses to head to Alabama. The Crimson Tide, under none other than the man himself, Nick Saban. During fall camp of his first season, he won the starting spot. As an offensive lineman, I'm telling you right now, that is not an easy thing to do. I hope everyone knows that, because I've been an offensive lineman, and to come in as a freshman and start is a bit baffling. But the move to make him the starter proved to be the right move after all. This kid ended up starting all season, 20 knockdowns on the season, which isn't crazy, crazy awesome, but it's still pretty dang good. And then he played 743 snaps. So throughout that freshman season, he actually earned himself a few accolades, one of those being the SEC Freshman of the Week after their game versus Auburn. So it's obvious that this kid is making quite the impact on the field. However, amidst all of his success, the unexpected retirement of Nick Saban sparked a series of events that led Proctor's decision to enter the transfer portal. After entering the portal, he makes the decision to commit to his home team, Iowa. Now, this is where the details start to get a little bit spicy. As the story goes, the Swarm Collective representing Iowa student athletes supposedly raised $100,000 in crowdfunding to land and retain Caden Proctor. Now, as the story goes, he accepts the money and then he chooses to go to Iowa. He trains with them all winter training. And right before spring ball starts, he enters the transfer portal again. Now, there's no inclination or no information out there that I've seen suggesting exactly why he left. But as the gossip goes, he took the $100,000 and then went back to Alabama, where he got even more NIL money. And there isn't a dang thing Iowa can do about it. So I'm going to take a pause here just to recap. This kid is either working the system for his gain in NIL, or he got to Iowa and he realized, yeah, this sucks. It's not for me. The culture doesn't fit. I'm going back to Bama. Those are my thoughts on that in particular move. What's interesting even further on this is that now, the Swarm Collective has since come out and said that Proctor has not received a dime. But I'm here to tell you, I don't know either. And honestly, who knows at this point? That may just be something that they're putting out there to save face. I don't know. But what's funny about this whole thing is that just a couple weeks ago, I was talking on the phone with one of our previous guests, Michael Smith. For those of you who don't remember who he is, he was up in Colorado, and he just took a job with San Jose State football. Congrats, Mike. I just wanted to put that out there. But as we were talking, we had a really good conversation about NIL and trying to rein in the madness and wild, wild west that NIL actually is. So Mike's suggestion, and I 100% concur, is that all of these athletes getting these NIL deals need to start signing contracts for any NIL dollars received. So let's get back into the Caden Proctor case with that thought in mind. Now, I hope he did make it out with $100,000 in 2 months. Is it ethical? No, not necessarily. But I think that's just the point that he exposed, is that ethics in college football are slowly but surely being shoveled out the window every day. There are no boundaries. A kid that gets an NIL deal, no one's restricting that. And nor should they be. But that same kid wants to transfer, there's no restrictions on that either. So what are the lessons learned? And I don't really know if there are any lessons to be learned. Because what once was an amateur sport is molding into flat out 100% business. Soon it's not just going to be an NLI, a national letter of intent that you sign on signing day. It's going to be an actual contract locking you into the school you play for. And who's to say how these contracts get put together? If contracts are put together by universities, who's to say they don't put stipulations on those? Those stipulations don't necessarily have to follow normal NCAA guidelines. Perhaps they can mandate higher GPAs. Perhaps they can mandate class attendance. Could you be missed for not making it to a class? Could you be fined for missing a class? Could you be fined for not showing up to a team meeting? Is this becoming NFL? Not necessarily, because there's still the class aspect to it, but how do these contracts get built? Is it a 2-year contract? Is it a 1-year contract? If you decide to transfer, do you have to buy out your contract before you move? Players are always complaining so much about how college coaches have been made so much money over the years, but they're the ones doing all the work as a player, and the players never made money. But the majority of college coaches sign contracts at those schools. And as head coaches, the majority of those, if they want to move or take a new job, quote unquote, transfer to another school, the school that is taking them from where they're currently at has to buy out their contract from the school they're currently at. So I don't have the answers, nor do I have a crystal ball, but I can't help but sit back and think, yeah, it is possible that contracts start getting put out and mandatory signs for incoming college athletes that get NIL deals. And if they want to transfer with that $100,000 that they were offered, they have to pay it back. It just makes sense. So that is honestly pretty much it for today's episode. I think in conclusion, in your recruiting process, one thing that you seriously have to consider as you go about your recruiting game, wherever you go, is if you're going to sign something, make sure you understand what you're signing. Like I said, it's not just the NLI anymore. It might be a little bit more than that. And if it's more than that, you may need to consider getting some legal counsel involved in your recruiting support. So something to think about. But hey, don't forget, we have the Recruit Grind Combine coming up. And these are the last few days of registration, pretty much through the end of this week. Early registration saves you 50% off the normal price. It's priced low for a reason. Come through. Let's get you recruited. And thank you for all of you who continue to listen to the Recruit Grind. I love you. I appreciate you. I want to see you. So get out to the combine, please. Thank you. I love you. Good night.